The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Truma. We now start to study the parashas which deal with the Mishkan, the sanctuary, like it states at the beginning of Parashas Truma. Taber al bnei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma me'ez kol isha she'yidvenu libay tikhu es trumosi. And of course, Baruch Hu tells Moshe to speak to the people of Israel that they should take for me contributions, offerings from every individual whose heart uplifts him. You should take my truma. And then the Torah itemizes what materials are needed and what should be done with all of this. You shall make for me a mikdosh that I may dwell amongst you. And this parasha was commanded on the day after Yom Kippur. Moshe received the Torah on Shavuos, the 6th of Sivan. He stayed on the mountain for 40 days. Then he came down, and then was the whole episode of Degel HaZohar, the golden calf, which really is only spoken about in the parashas to come. But Ein Mugdam Mocher B'Torah, there is no absolute chronological order in the Sefer Torah. There are many parashas that come later and are written first. And then he judged the people, and he went up and he broke the luchais, the tablets, and then he returned to the mountain. And he was there for another 40 days asking for forgiveness. And that took him till Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. And then he came down again. And of course, Baruch Hu told him to hew out new tablets and come up again and stay a third 40 days. And he will forgive him, the people. And he would give him the new tablets. And this was on Yom Kippur. So the first opportunity that he had to instruct and to teach the people was the day after Yom Kippur. And that's what this took place. And the very first item on the agenda was the mitzvah to build for me a mikdosh. Now that Klal Yisrael had the Torah, so now the Torah brought to Klal Yisrael also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we spoke about last week. And now there had to be a place for the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mikdosh had two names, Mikdosh and Mishkon. Mishkon means to dwell, Vishochanti B'Seichon, Shochen. It was a place which brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell, a dwelling place. And Mikdosh means Kodesh, sanctified. It sanctified Klal Yisrael. It was sanctified itself. And these names are constantly interchanged. And the Mikdosh's beginning was here in the Midbar, in the desert. It was starting to be built now. It was completed in Kislev, but it was not assembled until Pesach, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, the month which Pesach falls in. And it traveled with Klal Yisrael through the desert during the 40 years, and then it came into Eretz Yisrael, and it had various homes there, some for a short time, some for a very long time, until finally it found its final place, which became the Beis HaMikdosh, and that was on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. Now, this is what we're going to be learning about for the next number of weeks in the Torah. The Torah tells us that we should build an Oren, that was an ark to hold the Luchais and the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote, the tablets, and about a number of other kelim very, very important objects which were in the Mishkan. In Perachov Zayin, Posuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Vosiso esa mizbeach atzeishiti, that you should make an altar out of wood which was known as shitim. This is a type of arozim, a type of cedarwood, the most beautiful of the cedarwoods. And then the Torah gives us its dimensions and details. And with tzipisa eisena choshes, and it should be covered with copper. Now, this mizbeach, this altar, was known as the mizbeach hanachoshes, the altar of copper, for the reason we just read, because it was covered in copper. At the end of Parshas Yisro, we learned, and this is in Shmeis Chof, Posuk Chof Aleph. Mizbach Adoma Taseli, Vezavachto Lo Veselosecha Veshlemecha, Veseincha Vezbekorecha. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and there you shall sacrifice your different sacrifices. This was the same Mizbeach, the same altar. And Rashi explains there, what does it mean that it should be made out of earth? Mechubar ba'adoma, shleivnenu al gabi amudim al gabi kipim. That when it was placed on the ground, it should be directly on the earth. And it should not be built on any platforms or anything which disrupts its connection to the earth. Dovaracher. And another meaning, Shoyimamale is Chlal Mizbeach Anachoshes Adome Bishaskin Yosum. Or the Mizbeach was hollow. So when they camped and they stayed in one place, they filled up the altar with earth. So therefore it was also known as the Mizbeach Adome, the altar which was made from earth. We have another posuk there in Yisro, in Bosukhov Beis, that states, Vimizbeach Avonim Taseli. If you shall make an altar from stone, leisivne esen gozis, ki harbacho hinafto aleo vatchaleleho, it shall not be cut stone, hewed, because you're not allowed to use any metal, any iron, on the stones of the Mizbeach. Now here we see that it was made from stone. The explanation here is that we're speaking of the same Mizbeach, but when the Mishkan finally found its final resting place in Yerushalayim, and there the Mishkan became the Beis HaMikdosh, which was also known as the Beis Olomim, because there it stayed forever. So there the Mizbeach was made out of stone. But even though it was made out of stone, still, it was not built on any platform, or it was not built on any hollow in the ground, in order to fulfill the posuk which states that Mizbach Adoma Taseli, that it should be joined directly with the earth. This is in the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Beis HaBechira Halacha Yud Gimel. So therefore, this Mizbeach, this altar, had three names. It was called Mizbach Nechoshes, the copper Mizbeach. It was made from wood and covered with copper. It was called Mizbach Adoma, the earthen altar, because it was filled with earth. And it was also placed right on the earth. And it was also called Mizbach Avonim, the altar of stones, because in the Beis Elomim, in the permanent Beis HaMikdosh, then it was made with stone. It had another two names also. So this could get complicated sometimes. It was also called the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer Mizbeach, because this Mizbeach, this altar, was in the courtyard, in the Azor, or the Chotzer, of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdosh. And it was also called the Mizbach Ola, the Mizbeach in which the sacrifices were brought, because the majority of all of the sacrifices were brought on this Mizbeach. There was another Mizbeach also, another altar, which was much smaller than this Mizbeach. And this were commanded on at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, in Perek Lamed Posuk Aleph. There the Torah writes, Ve'osiso Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores. You shall make an altar for incense. Atze Shitim Tasel. It should be made again out of this wood. And then we have the dimensions. And then it states, Vitzipisa Esei Zohov Tohor. It should be overlaid with gold. This Mizbeach was not in the Azorah, the Chotzer, the courtyard, but rather in the Bayis itself. The Beis HaMikdash had a courtyard, and then, and the same with the Mishkan, it had a courtyard, and there in the courtyard was walled in, fenced in, but it was had no roof. And then it had a portion which was roofed in, and that was called the Kodesh, or the Heichal. And that was divided in two parts. One was the Kodesh, and then the other was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This Mizbeach was placed in the Kodesh. And this Mizbeach also is referred to by a number of names, actually three. It was called the Mizbeach Hazov, the altar of gold, because this one was made of gold. It was also called Mizbeach Ketores, the altar of the incense, like it states here, you shall make an altar of incense, because incense was brought only on the inner Mizbeach. And it was also called the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach. So we have the outer Mizbeach, which was known as the Mizbeach HaChitzei, the outer Mizbeach, or the Mizbeach HaOleh, of the sacrifices, because most of your just about all of the sacrifices were brought there. And that was referred to with three different materials: the Mizbeach Nechoshes. Mizbeach Nechoshes, the copper Mizbeach, because it was overlaid with copper, or the Mizbeach Adoma, earthen Mizbeach, because it was filled with earth and was also placed directly under earth, and Mizbeach Avonim, it was the stone Mizbeach, because in the Beis Alomim and the permanent Beis HaMikdash, it was made of stone. Then we had a much smaller Mizbeach, which was the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach, that was in the Kodesh. And that was also known as the Mizbeach Ketores, the Mizbeach, the altar of the incense, because incense was only brought there. Or the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach. This evening we're speaking about the outer Mizbeach. This is the one on which the majority, huge majority of sacrifices were brought every day. And that's the one that we learn about in this week's Sedra. Now, even though there were a number, like we mentioned, a number of important kelim, of important objects and items, which were placed in the Mishkan, and each one was vital, and each one was very, very important, it seems that the two most paramount ones were that of the Aron HaKodesh. And that's the first keli we are commanded to make in this week's Sedra. The Aron was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of the Holies, and it held the Sefer Torah and the Luches HaBris, the stones, and the Shivrei Luches, the broken tablets. And the Mizbeach HaChitzon, this outer Mizbeach, which we are speaking about now. The reason why, well, let's put it this way, we can understand why the Aron was so important, because that held the Torah. And the Torah is the most important treasure which we have. And as we mentioned last week, by receiving the Torah, we received HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the whole Mishkan, the whole sanctuary was built around this. But why was the altar, the Mizbeach, so important, when there were so many other kelim, There was a shulchan, a table. There was a menorah, the candlesticks. And there were the kiyor v'kanai, the fountains. The reason for this is also quite understandable. Because the prime purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was lahakriv korbonis, to bring sacrifices. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Mitzvah Zeseh La'aseis Bais LaShem. It's a positive commandment to build a house to Hashem. Muchan liyeis makrivin be'akorbonis, in order that it should be a place where we can come and bring our sacrifices to Him. And a place where we will all come together three times during the year. That you shall make for me a mikdosh. So the Rambam writes two purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. And the first one is to bring sacrifices to Hashem. Actually, that's also the reason of the second one, also partially, because the second reason he gives is a place where all of Israel will come together three times a year. This was the Gimel Ergolim, Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. But why did they all come there? They all came there like the Torah commanded us, to in order to bring sacrifices. So we see that the paramount purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to bring sacrifices to Hashem. The paramount place to bring the sacrifices was the Mizbeach HaChitzon, this outer Mizbeach. So this is why this is such an important object in the Mishkan and Mikdash. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Perek Beis, HaMizbeach Mekeimei Mechuven Mi'aid. The place of the Mizbeach, this is when we came to Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis, is very, very exact. The whole place of the Beis HaMikdash with everything was very exact. And this was instructed to us by our Nevi'im, by the prophets, and through David HaMelech, who laid the groundwork for it. And ultimately it was built by his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. But the Rambam writes, HaMizbeach Mekeimei Mechuven DeYosher. But the place of the Mizbeach is more exact than anything else. And never are we allowed to change its place. Why are we so particular about its place? Because Meseiris Biyar HaKol, we have by Meseiris, by tradition, Shehamokim Shebonu by David Ushlema Mizbeach, that in the place where David HaMelech and Shlema HaMelech built the Mizbeach, Begeren Aravno, in the Goren of Aravno, Hu Hamokim Shebonu by Avroma Mizbeach Va'okar Olov Yitzchok. This was the same place where Abraham built the Mizbeach and bound Yitzchok when he was going to bring him for a sacrifice. Har Moriah. V'hu amokim shebonu by Neach kishyotze min ha'teva. And this is the exact same place where Noach built the Mizbeach when he came out of the ark, the boat, during the flood. And he offered sacrifices to Hashem. If you recall, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to take two of every kind of animal in the ark, in order that no animal, no species should be lost, and seven each of the tahorim, of the kosher animals. Why? Because with these extra ones he was going to bring sacrifices. V'huam is Be'ach. And this is the Mizbeach, Shehikriv Olav Kain VeHevel. If you recall that Kain VeHevel, they brought sacrifices to Hashem. And they built an altar. And this is where they built the altar. And this is the place where Adam HaRishon, the first man, brought his sacrifice. When he was created, he sacrificed to Hashem. And further the Rambam says, Umishom Nivra. This is where Adam HaRishon was created from. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took offer, he took dust, earth, and created man. Where did he take the earth from? He took it from this place. Omru Chachomim, Adam Mimokam Kaparose Nivra. The Chachomim say that man was created from a place which he will have a kapora, an atonement, because the purpose of the Mizbeach is to bring sacrifices that will atone for Klal Yisrael. So we see why it's so important that the place of the Mizbeach is exact. It goes back to where Avraham made his Mizbeach, and it goes back to where Nayach made his Mizbeach, and Cain the Hevel made theirs, and Adam HaRishon made his, and even Adam was created from this place. If we look in Parshas Bereishis, Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Zayin. It states, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Eso Adam Ofer Min Adama. Hashem created, he formed man from the dust of the earth. Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, and man became a living being. When it says that he created man from the dust of the earth, Rashi actually brings two peirushim, two explanations from the Chazal, from Achachom. Rashi says first, Tzovar af ofrei mikol adoma be'arba ruches. First he says that Hashem took earth from all of the different types of earth in the world, and from that he made man, he formed man. In order shebachol mokum shiyoma is shom tehei kol tosei likvura. In order that when man dies, wherever he dies, there he will have a place to be buried. What does he mean? Because Hashem told Adam, you came from the earth, Elor Joshua, we shall return to the earth. And the earth will take you in, because you are from the earth itself. You are the same species. But this is not 100% true, because there's different types of soils all through the entire world. You might have been created from one soil and die in another place. You could be created from a soil from the northern United States and die in Africa. So it's not the same soil. So you're not returning to your same source. And the earth will not unite itself with you, or you will not unite itself with the earth. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a blend. He took earth, species of earth, samples of earth, from the entire world, mixed it together. And from there he formed man, in order that wherever man will die, Shom Tehei Kol Tosei, there the earth will take him in, and he will unite with the earth. That's the first pirush, the first explanation Rashi brings. Then he brings a second one, and this is the one that the Rambam brings. Dov acher notel afor mimokum shenemar bei mizbach adoma taseli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the earth, the same earth, from where he said that you shall make the Mizbeach. In other words, from the place of the Mizbeach. Why? Halavai teile kapora. Let this be an atonement. The Mizbeach is there for sacrifices and atonement. Let this be an atonement. The Yuchal Amed. And this will allow man to stand in this world, to sustain and exist in this world. Now, the Gur Ayah asks the question. He says, according to the second explanation, that man was created from the earth, which is the place of the Mizbeach. There's going to be a problem then. When he dies, why will the earth take him in and he'll be united with the earth? He's created from a different soil. The second question he asks is, what is the great attribute to be created from the place of the altar, of the Mizbeach? A kapora. But just to be created from that dirt is not a kapora, is not an atonement. Ein kapora bele korban. The atonement of the Mizbeach is that we brought sacrifices on it. If you didn't bring sacrifices, there was not an atonement. So therefore, merely to be created from the earth where the Mizbeach is, halavai teile kaporosa v'yuchal amayid, and this will be a kapora and give him keach, give him strength to exist in this world. Why? These are the two questions he asks. Again, he asks on the second explanation, that man was created from the earth in the place of the Mizbeach. So then how will he have a good kfura, a good burial wherever he dies? It's a different type of earth. We see this was an important principle. And secondly, why should this be an atonement for him? To bring a sacrifice, and with all of the laws of the sacrifices and all of the conditions and so forth, this brought atonement to man. But merely to be created from its earth, why did this bring atonement? So this gives us a very good insight, a very deep insight into the Mizbeach. He says as follows. Is the altar, the place of the altar, that place, that's actually the foundation of the entire world. And from there, all the earth of the world came from, was connected to, as if all the earth was created from this spot. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is the Emtza HaYishuv. If you take the world where civilization is found, Eretz Yisrael is in the middle. In Sion and Yerushalayim are in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. And the Harabais, who Beis Hamikdash, and the mountain of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash itself, is in the middle of Yerushalayim. And the place of the Mizbeach, the place of the altar, is in the middle of the Harabais and Beis Hamikdash. So it comes out that the midpoint is the place of the altar. And we find that always the Emtza, the midpoint, is good and the best. And the Ktzaveis, the extremities, are not good. And why is this? Because in the center, you always find the perfect balance, the perfect medium. While to the extremities, you find the extremes and the imbalances. Similar to this, the Maharal writes, we find in Zman, in time. For example, the midpoints of the time, which is governed by the sun. And that's when the day and the night are equal. That comes out during Pesach, Nisan. And that comes out Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei. You find there the day is the exact same hours as the night, and the same thing vice versa. You find there the climate. The Gemara says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Klal Yisrael out on Pesach? Because it's a time v'lei kor v'lei chom. It's not too cold, it's not too hot. You have your perfect balance in climate. And this adds, this is also true not only in the physical level but in the spiritual level. This is why we have our Zmanim HaMekudoshim, our Yom Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot. On the other hand, when you go to, for example, a month like Tevis in the Northern Hemisphere, and that's when your day is the longest, and your night is the longest and the day is the shortest, there you get your extremes. You get extreme cold. And when you go to Tamish, where your days are the longest and your night are the coldest. In other words, in one case the earth is very far from the sun, in another case the earth is very close to the sun. It's not at a medium point. And there you get your extreme heat. And the same thing at the spiritual level, we find that those are not good times. The same thing in civilization. We find that civilization does not cover the entire face of the earth, but rather it gravitates more to the central parts of the earth. The extremities, like your North Pole, your Arctic, your Antarctic, your extremities, there it's very difficult for people to survive because of the extremities. So therefore, midpoint is always perfect balance, the mitzvah, while the extremities are imbalances. And there you find your perfection. And this also emulates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekeim Shel Olam. He is perfection. So therefore the Maharal says as follows: if man was created from other earth, then we'd have a problem. How could he find a good burial wherever he would die? Because that earth where he would be buried, where he would die, would not really take him in, would not unite with him, because it's a different soil. But when we say, and that was the first interpretation, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he gathered together all of the different soils in the whole world and made a blend. So wherever he'll die, Shom Tei Kol Tosai, he'll have a place of burial. But according to the second interpretation, that he was made from the earth right in the place of the Mizbeach, there is no problem to begin with, that how will the earth take him in? Because that's the source. First of all, that's the source of all of the earth in the world. And secondly, that's the perfect earth, because that's the exact midpoint. And therefore, wherever he dies, he will be able to unite with that earth where he is now. That's the answer to that question. The second question that we asked is that what is the attribute of being of created from the place of the Mizbeach, because there he'll have a kapora, an atonement. Atonement is through bringing a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. Not mere, what good is it to be created from the earth of the Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach is? This also is the same answer. Because man was created, Yahshua. He was created perfect, upright. Chate, sin, means that he deviated from that what was perfect. He went to the right or he went to the left. This is why he needs a kapora, he needs an atonement, to bring him back to center. You know, we find this also in the physical level, physical health. The Greek medical people, they were the fathers of science, the fathers of medicine. They used to write that all sicknesses comes from an imbalance in the human body. Kodesh Baruch Hu made the human body with perfect balance, and therefore everything works perfectly. If a person is sick, that means there's some imbalance in the body, and that's what's happening. Healing process must be to bring that balance back to the body. So is it in the spiritual realm. If a person is chater, this means that he has deviated from what is perfectly yosher. That's why we call the norm. He has deviated from the norm. Kapora is to bring him back to that norm. Maral in a place writes, wherever a rosher is someone who has yotzeh min ha-yosher, he's deviated from that which is perfect. Torah directs us in a perfect direction. Now, if he was created from the earth of the Mizbeach itself, that earth is perfect. And that gives him a perfection which makes it easier for him to keep himself in balance, or if he deviates, to return to the proper balance. So that's what the sages mean when they say that Adam was created when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said, Vayitza Hashem Elokim es Adam ofer min Adama. He formed him from the dust of the earth. What earth? From the earth of the place of the Mizbeach, and said, Halavai Tehei Kaporosoi V'yuchal Amayid. If I created from this earth, this is going to give him a very, very strong foundation. A very strong foundation of what is a perfect balance. And therefore, it will help him have a kapora, v'yuchal amayid, and he'll be able to stand in this world. So that's the explanation. But meantime, what do we see? We see how important the Mizbeach was and the role that it played. It was in the center of the Beis HaMikdash. This could be also why it was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or the Kodesh, because that was not the center. This was in the courtyard, and it was the center of the Beis HaMikdash. And the purpose, it fulfilled the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, because on it was brought the sacrifices. And its place was the midpoint of the creation of the world. And even man himself was created from that place, according to one explanation of the Chazal. The Torah tells us here, V'tzipisa isay nechoshes. It should be made from the wood, and it should be covered with copper. Rashi brings, why should it be covered with copper? L'chaper al azeis metzach. He says because it was a kapora, it was a particular atonement for azus metzach. Azus metzach means arrogance, brazenness. Actually, the word Azus means something which is very strong, Az. And Beitzach is the forehead. So the literal translation would be someone who has a strong forehead. That means very brazen, very arrogant. Why do we find that the Mizbeach itself atoned for arrogance and brazenness? The answer to this also is something very understandable. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that was done in the Beis HaMikdash was Nikra Avoda. It was called Avoda. Avoda comes from the word of Eved. In other words, as a servant who serves his master. The Gemara many times says that when one was in the Beis HaMikdash, he had to be ke avdei kamei marjo. He had to be like a servant before his master. It states that when the Kahanim would do their duties in the Beis HaMikdash, it says ba'amido, they had to stand. Why? Because b'shorei sksiv, because they were to serve. How do you serve your master? You stand before him. Now this whole concept where there's a master and a servant, this comes from the direction of Yireh, where there is a great awe and fear, because an Eved with an Odom, there's a lordship over him, there's a ruler over him, there's a great awe and fear. And that's why it states on the entire Beis HaMikdash as Mikdoshi Tiro'u, that you shall fear my Mikdash. When you walked into a Beis HaMikdash, you had to go with great yira, with great respect. And the main manifestation of this servitude, of this abdus, was the bringing of the sacrifices. This was like maybe Doran Lemelech. You bring a tribute to a king. A subject brings a tribute to the king. We brought sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was more in the sacrifices we give in Shurim and this alone, but basically we were bringing a Doran to Hashem, a gift to Hashem. A subject was bringing a tribute to his king. And where was the place for this? The main central point was the Mizbeach, the altar. Now all of this is just contrary to Azus Metzach. All of this is just contrary to brazenness, to arrogance. Because who is arrogant? The one who's arrogant is the one who feels that there's no one over me. The one who's brazen also means chutzpah. There's the one who feels there's no one over me. I'm subject to no one. There's no ruler over me. So this is just contrary to the whole concept of avdus, of servitude. And it's a great sin to become brazen, to become arrogant. So therefore the kapora, the atonement for this, was the Mizbeach, the altar, because there we brought sacrifices. And the sacrifices showed just the opposite, that we subjected ourselves, we humbled ourselves to a master over us. And the place of this was the Mizbeach, the altar. For it was Mechaper al ho'azus meitzach. Nechoshes is the symbol of this. Kaper. Why? Kaper represents brazenness, because copper is from the fiercest metals, the Gemara tells us. It's actually, Nechoshes is a question if it was copper or brass. See. But whatever, it's from the fiercest metals, it's not from the strongest metals. but the fiercest metals. Why? Because it could repel elements which would corrode other metals. And it would not allow elements to overcome it, but rather to repel it. And this is the meter, the quality, see, of brazenness. And there's times when brazenness is very good, right? But there's times when it's not. And therefore, it was made to be overlaid with nechoshes, with this copper or brass, in order to manifest this. Now, this that we said, that the altar, therefore, was contrary to the brazenness, this really was the entire Beis HaMikdash. Like we mentioned, the entire Beis HaMikdash was Avodah. And we find this because the entire Beis HaMikdash, and when the Mishkan was set up also, it was always Mimizrach L'Maariv. It was from the east to the west. When you entered, sometimes you could come in through the sides, but eventually you would come to the eastern part of it. And you would enter it from the eastern part. And then every step that you took westward would ultimately become more kodosh. And you would come into the Azora, into the courtyard. And you would go further west and it would become more kodosh. And you would go further west and eventually you would come to the Heichel, to the covered part of the Mishkan. And you would come to the Kodosh. And then you go further west, you would come to the Kodosh HaKadoshim, to eventually where the Oren was. So you were always going from east to west. Why are you going from east to west? The reason for this is because if we look at the sun is the greatest physical force in the world. He was known as the Mor HaGodol, the great light. And he was given permission to rule this world. It's the sun who holds everything in order. Where is his strong point? His strong point is in the east. When does he show his strength? He shows his strength as he starts to rise. And that's why the east was called Mizrach, from the word Zorach. That's where the shine of the sun comes forth. Bigburosai, and he's Holech Hemosif, and he gets stronger and stronger and stronger on the east side of the world, to eventually when he reaches his high point at noon. Actually, the west side of the world is his weak point. Once he goes over that midpoint, he starts to wane, and slowly he loses his power. Now, the east was always considered a place for kings. The fact is, your kings always tried to emulate the sun, because the sun was the strongest force in the world. The Rambam writes that the original Aveda Zora was that of worshipping the sun, because they wanted to worship the greatest powers. And from there they went to the mausoleums and the planets and the stars and the moons and so forth. But it started with the suns, the sun gods. And therefore, their place was in the east. The fact is, we find even by Yehuda, Yehuda's camp was in the east, because that was the beginning of the day, and that represented the king. Now, a king in this world, and the sun, they have their brazen. The They're rulers. No one rules over them. So they're the rulers. The fact is, Malchus is called Azus. If you look in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Tes, Posuk Gimel, when Yaakov was benching, he gave brachas to his first son Reuven. He said, "V'yeser Oz, Yeser Eis V'yeser Oz." You should have had the kingdom. Rashi says, "Yeser Oz b'Malchus k'may v'yitein Oz l'Malkai." See, so the word Oz refers to kingship, because a king has to be courageous. He has to be brazen. He has to have arrogance. He can't go around and subject himself to other sovereignties. He's the sovereign. That's all good, though, outside the Beis HaMikdash. But when you come to the Beis HaMikdash to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everyone has to subject themselves to the sovereignty of Hashem. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was just the opposite. It didn't go from the west to the east, it went from the east to the west. Because the more west you went, the greater the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Gemara says, why is it that when the sun comes to the west, he starts to disappear, he starts to set? It says, because he is bowing, ki abdu kamei mariam. He is bowing like a servant to his master. The son also has to subject itself to a master. And that's to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when we go to the Beis HaMikdash, we're not interested in the son. We're interested in the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Gemara, the Mishnah brings in Sukkah that we put our backs to the sun and we walk towards the west. This is the abdus. This is how we subject ourselves. We humble ourselves to a greater king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we bring our sacrifices to him. So therefore, it was very right that the Mizbeach, the altar, the place of the sacrifices, should be made out of copper, to be machaper al azus metzach, where it will be an atonement for brazenness, because here we subject ourselves to a greater sovereign, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me conclude. There's much more to speak about the Mizbeach. Maybe we'll have a chance to continue, but let me just conclude with one medrash. We said that the Mizbeach first was made of Atzei Shittim, and then it was overlaid with this copper. We find that many of the different parts of the Mishkan was made of Atzei Shittim, of the cedar wood. The Medrash says that there were 10 types of cedar trees, and this was the most precious and the most beautiful. And this was so beautiful, this wood, that really, habe brias bora kodesh bochu b'lamai, v'lo hayo ha'olam ro'ei l'ishtamish bohen, b'gonzon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created many, many creatures and many creations, but they were so beautiful that the world did not merit them. So he took them and he put them away. And it states that this wood also should have also been taken and put away. But this he did not conceal, but he saved it for the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the most beautiful binyan in the world. If we were judged by the way the sages tell us what the Beis HaMikdash was, it would make the greatest palaces look like slums. So this wood also was lahoya kadai. The world should not have merited it. It says the same thing on the type of gold that was used. The Rambam says that when we build our Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to be mefa'er. It's a mitzvah to ornament it. See, I mean, to give you an idea, unfortunately, we are like impoverished beggars. We come to the remnants of the Beis HaMikdash, say. And what we see is the churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As we come to the Kotel, we see this big walk. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash was stone. They were all stone. This was the floor in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash and in the Chotzer and the Azor. But it states it was all precious stones. Every stone was a precious stone. This was the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam writes that we are obligated to be mefa'er, to beautify the Beis HaMikdash, kifi keach hatzibor, in accordance to the wealth of the nation. If we can overlay the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold, we are obligated to do so. So here, this arozim, this cedar wood, this type, was really not fit for the world, or the world was not fit for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to conceal it. But he said, no, I'll leave it so they can use it in my Beis HaMikdash. And then the Medrash brings that there's something else we can learn from here. It says, Limar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derecheres L'Deiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wanted to teach. He wanted to teach Derecheres, proper conduct to the generations. Shim Yivakesh Odom Livnais Beisai Mi'ilon Eisepeiros. If a person wants to build a house, he wants to build himself a house, and he wants to build it out of a very nice wood, but the wood is coming from a tree, is a tree which gives fruit. For example, I know in the States you have a very beautiful wood which is called cherry wood, and that's the wood which is produced by the cherry tree. So he wants to chop down the cherry tree and to take the wood and build a house for himself. So Omale, you should tell him, Uma melech malchei hamelochim shahakol shaloi. And kishom alasis amishkon Omale sovio ele me'ilon she'enai sepeiros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of all kings, and everything is his. And when he wanted to make a house for himself, he commanded the people to take wood from a tree which does not give forth fruit, in order not to destroy a fruit tree. And now you want to go and build a house for yourself, and you want to destroy a fruit tree for it. So that's something else that we learn, the Medrash says, from the Atzei Shitim. These are a few of the principles that we can learn this evening from the Mizbeach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.